Heavenly Father, we thank you again that we could be here this morning. I pray that you'd be with each of the prayer requests that was mentioned. I pray that you'd be with Brother Steve in the process of getting through the final stage of his dissertation. I pray that you'd give him calm and peace, just joy while he's got it turned in and he's pretty much done, that he could just enjoy that. I pray that you'd be with Tiffany as she's working to earn money to go back to college, Bible college again, and that she's trying to add another job to her plate so she can make even more. I pray that you'd help her and her family through VBS this week and all the things that they're doing to minister to the children here in the neighborhood. I pray that you'd help us as we have decisions to make around our house. Help us to have wisdom to know the right things to do. Pray that you preserve whatever needs to be preserved to make things right. Thank you for how well Jen's doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Can you tell me the length of it? It's made proofreading quite the battle.
I'm sure.
It's like 5 hours to proofread at one time.
I didn't know what kind of proofreading you needed if you were only looking for grammar and
both.
Things, because I couldn't.
Yeah, both. Like using the word who instead of that. Like I would sometimes write like individuals that did this, and it should be individuals who did, you know. So it's like finding all those type of errors. But then a lot of it is just like correctly using the right scientific terms or something like that. Because someone that doesn't necessarily know the literature would really be like, yeah, that looks fine, but like, no, I'm using that word wrong or something like that. Sorry.
No, you're right.
No, I didn't mean to like interrupt.
All right. Well, last week we sort of did the book version of the review of the text. And this week, because we don't have our new students yet, and I haven't picked out our new curriculum yet, and I don't want to start anything yet, I'm going to do a different review.
2 weeks away.
So I better get on it.
Yeah.
Oh, because next week there is no Sunday.
Next week is awards.
Awards, yeah. So let's go. We're going to jump back through some of our prior memory verses, because when I read them in reverse order, starting back in Joshua 24:15, it was interesting to see how the trend starts and just continues through. So Joshua,
Oh, she says it's very cool of you.
Okay. Well, I know that they were trying to get them settled sooner, and they couldn't find a house, and so it just seems what it is.
Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So this was our stake in the ground. This was, all right, we've looked at some of the things that can take us away from the Lord. We've looked at some of the things that make us behave immaturely or irrationally. We've looked at folly and some different things in the Bible. And then we put this stake in the ground and we said, all right, you got to at some point make a decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, does that mean, since I made that decision, that Joel's going to heaven?
No.
Does it increase his chances?
Yes.
Living in a home where we put God first, if we study the Bible, and we
certainly
read and pray every
day. Certainly a higher level of accountability.
Yes, it does. And
the word doesn't exist in the United States. Were, what are you talking
right.
about?
Were I to do a good job of living out that decision, would that also increase his chance? Not just that we made the decision, but now that we lived it out. Would that increase his chances? It should, right? If he has a godly example in his home.
I think it depends. Or if you're like cranky about it, like, let's read the Bible. I know I'm tired, but let's sit down and read the Bible before we go to bed. Or if you're like,
I can be. I have been.
You're never cranky, right here.
Good. Then we move
until 2 in the afternoon when I finally get up. Your bachelor.
Psalm 37. Starting in verse 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." So in verse 3, right now we've put our stake in the ground and we've said, so we're going to serve the Lord. Verse 3 in Psalm 37 says, all right, if you're going to serve him, trust in the Lord and do good to serve him. And if you do that, God will let you live where he wants you, where he needs you to live. He'll take care of you.
Italy.
And you'll be fed.
Pizza.
Then it says, now, if you have this good attitude, Miss Jenny was just talking about it, you delight in serving the Lord, you delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. I always take a detour when we read this verse and stop and say, now, if the desire of your heart is not according to God's word, you can't take this verse and try to bend it to say, I'm serving God so he'll give me, you said a Bentley?
Yeah.
I'm serving God so he'll give me a shiny new Camaro to drive my 5 kids around in.
You pick a Camaro.
No.
He won't give you the Camaro.
I totally to drive remember sitting around on friends' laps and stuff when I would go with our parents and dad as a work car.
If you could have like anything, you'd pick a Camaro.
No, that came up earlier. She was talking about her Camaro.
I do.
Yeah, I like Camaros too.
My cousin has one of those.
He sold his Camaro. He had a new Camaro. He sold it to buy a house. Like, what were you thinking? But anyway.
House increases in value and a car always depreciates. Well, that's not true. It takes a really long time for a car to increase in value.
Yes.
But it
can. Well, and his payment on his Camaro was over $500 a month. That's probably what he was thinking. So anyway.
Obviously did not have the...
Delight thyself also in the Lord, who gives you desires of thy heart. Which means, when you're delighting yourself in the Lord, he will give you the right desires in your heart, then he will fulfill them. And you will get the same amount of joy or more than if he had fulfilled your desire for a Bentley or a Camaro. He will fulfill your desires and give you more joy, but he does tend to adjust what the desires of your heart may be to match his. Then it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You will have the future he wants you to have and the eternity he wants you to have if you're committed unto him and trusting him. Okay, so we put our stake in the ground, we're trusting the Lord, we're delighting in him. Romans 8:27.
Is this an order from the last 2 years?
No. This is an order from the last
quarter?
Maybe a little longer than a quarter.
I guess I should have known that, because that Psalms one we just did in like February or March.
Right.
I think we did it in March, because I think that's when I took my bonus when I was in Hawaii.
Romans 8:27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So we put our stake in the ground and said, we're following God, we're trusting in God, we're delighting in God, he's taking care of us. Now it says, he's looking at our hearts, he's looking at everyone's hearts, and he knows the Holy Spirit. It says the Spirit, capital S for Spirit, so he knows the Holy Spirit. Then it says, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So if we're truly delighting in him and he's searching our heart, then we're lined up, we're in the right place, right? He's making intercession for us constantly. So we put our stake in the ground. We started, our part was, okay, God, I'll serve you. Then he said, okay, trust me. We said, okay, I'll trust you. Then he said, delight in me. And we said, okay, I'll delight in you. And he said, all right, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Then it says, he is searching our heart, which is how he knows those desires, right? And he is making intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So if he's searching our heart for our desires and he's making this intercession, right? He's our conduit straight to God the Father. All that makes sense? All right. That was Romans 8:27. Galatians 6:7-9. You probably know some of these verses, Tiffany, even though you weren't here. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
That was our verse. It was 9. I think the rest of our bonus. I just remember learning that one.
So it says, remember, God knows what's going on. You might have put your stake in the ground and you might have started out trusting in him, but if you're still out there doing worldly things, from that you're going to reap worldly things, corruption. But also keep in mind, God knows what you're doing, and if you're out there doing the right things and serving him, then in due season, you'll reap. Just don't give up. Right? If we faint not, some people think of fainting as just, oh, they were going along fine and they just passed out. Usually if someone faints, it's been led up to over time. Right? I've never just been standing somewhere and passed out.
I have.
No. But I've seen people who seemed okay standing there. I actually caught someone. We were in ROTC in high school. And she was in front of me, and she passed out. And it was tricky because we're in formation, we're not allowed to break formation, and we all had drill rifles, right? So she's falling backwards towards a bunch of people holding their rifles pointed this way, right? So I took my rifle and leaned it up against the guy next to me and caught her by the shoulders and just stood there. And of course, our instructor, the major, came right over and took her and took care of her. He took the rifle back, all this. We got done and we went over to find out what happened to Jessica. Is she okay? And the major said, yeah. She did a... This is the major speaking. He said she made... Well, I won't say it the way he did. It wasn't a bad word, but it's Sunday school. He said she made some poor decisions. We're like, okay, what are you talking about? Well, she decided she didn't look very cute in her uniform, so she didn't eat breakfast. And then when lunchtime rolled around, she just had a sip of water. I don't know. He's like, she thought she was fat, so she's not been eating and she's not been drinking enough. And so when she stood up in the sunlight, she passed out. She fainted. But it wasn't just this weird thing where for no reason at all, she just fainted. There was a reason. There were choices and circumstances that she put herself in that led up to her fainting, right? This says, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. It doesn't mean if you're the unlucky one and you randomly pass out at the end, then you don't get the reward. That's not what God's saying. God's saying, as long as you keep making the right choices, doing the right things, you won't faint. And you'll get the reward. You'll reap, and you won't faint. Right? That makes more sense than just someone randomly passing out.
All right. Randomly passed out.
So. You've randomly passed out?
I guess the decisions were my parents made me get up at like 5 in the morning to go to the hospital for my brother's surgery. We didn't eat breakfast in the hospital. It smelled weird, and I was 13, and I fainted in the hospital.
Well, that makes sense.
But those were not my choices.
No. It sounds like there were reasons for it.
Yeah.
God's not going to lead you into a situation like that where you will faint. All right, Psalm 23:1.
I just needed attention because my brother was like the first person in South Dakota getting this surgery, so I had to take some light off.
The surgery, wasn't it?
My brother was born with a cleft lip and palate, and so they were breaking his upper jaw and attaching a half halo to the jaw, and then he had to wear it for like 3 months, and then each day we had to like crank this thing and slowly pulled it forward.
Is he all good now?
Oh yeah, this was in like, say I was 13, so it was like 16 years ago. It was a lot. I mean, I was in like 7th grade when it happened, so yeah. Yeah, no, and it worked really well. Like, his profile is entirely different. The only thing, he still has the scars from the cleft lip, but.
Great. So, switching from that to Psalm 23:1. which says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now it just said, if you keep going and you don't faint, which we said requires you to have the right situations and make the right decisions, you'll get the reward. Then the next verse we learned said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What things does a shepherd do for the sheep?
Protect.
Feed. Protect them.
Get them to water. Basically make sure they don't have to do anything.
Well, they have to drink. Well, lead a horse to water, but you can't
make
them drink.
They don't have to worry about concerns. They're taken care of.
Right. You place your worries on the shepherd. You place your safety on the shepherd. He leads you to the grass where you eat, right? Sustenance. Helps you make decisions for you. No, don't walk off the cliff. Come over here instead.
But when you're about to walk off the cliff, does he just say, "No, no, sheepy"?
That's a good point.
He might say that with cane.
Well, he uses the cane. But when a sheep lamb runs off from the flock, the shepherd will catch it and break its legs, maybe not all of them, and carry it until it heals. And when he puts it back down, and if he puts it back down with the flock, it doesn't run away again.
It's like the mafia.
Is that an arcane practice?
Because he chases
the sheep. I don't know any ranchers or sheep that do that.
Well, if he chases, if the sheep leave, and he chastens them and brings them back. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
I think they just use sheepdogs now.
Well, maybe they do. But that includes the chastening. All right, then we went to 1 Corinthians 15.
I remember that day. You said 1557, and I just... I know, 58 was our verse. But we first went to 57, and I was just like, I know that one, and I just said it.
It says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So here's some encouragement. Don't faint. Follow the shepherd. Oh, and just keep going. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. What is different about serving the Lord than anything else we could serve?
There are lots of answers.
There is one specific one we're going to focus on just a little bit. So you said Bentley.
I was going to say eternal rewards.
Eternal rewards. Eternal is the key. If you serve the world, the Bible says the world passes away and the lust thereof. And then it says, "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." In fact, I need to look up the reference for this. That would be our memory.
Are we going to try to go to Cheddar's in August?
Oh, I don't know.
Our class will be a lot bigger, so our budget probably can't handle it.
Well, they're not going to know the first reverse, so they're already out. Unless you tell them. Because your sister is one of them.
Winner's coming back. July
2nd. She's out. Oh wait, is that an excused absence being in Hungary
on a mission trip?
Yeah.
That might be an excused absence for missing church. Maybe.
Cutting into my Cheddar's budget.
Probably in church, but they're going to be starting a church next
week. No. She's probably in church like every day.
Right.
So in 1558, First Corinthians 15:58 says, "Your labor is not in vain in the Lord." The key to serving the Lord, the difference in results of serving the Lord versus serving anything else, worldly things, fun things. And I'm not saying taking care of your spouse is a bad thing. I could make my life just serving her. I have a wife, I could spend my life just serving her and doing whatever she wants all the time. for the next however many years we have. Say we're married.
Do that because I want you to go to work.
She needs that alone time.
Yeah.
No. It's like he's
flying
out of my hair.
Like 5 feet. Yes, I'm alone with the
four
children.
Soon to be five.
Much less chaotic without another adult in the house to help. Yes, sure.
It is because Joel's a basket case for your mom. You know it's true.
I could make my life about serving. The problem is there will come a day.
Well, he is nice, Dad.
When she's no longer here to serve. So I've served something, however good it may be or may have been, it was temporal. But serving the Lord is eternal. Everything you do for God, every soul that's won that you have parted, is eternal. Giving your missions money and some missionary goes over and someone gets saved on the missions field. That's eternal. That's the only thing you can serve that's eternal. You could be one of those people that writes some great thing and puts it in a time capsule and sends it to the outer reaches of the universe. And you could do all these crazy things, but that's still not eternal. It will go away. Eventually they'll forget. You could say Shakespeare is eternal. I'm positive in heaven they will not be quoting Macbeth. It's not eternal. It lasted a long time. It had a good run. The royalties have expired.
It's like that when we watched that movie the other night and he went all far into the future and he couldn't believe that they'd forgotten everything that everyone fought and died for during his time.
What movie is that?
Time Machine.
Time Machine.
The one from the 60s.
Oh, you posted about that on Facebook. Yeah. And I was like, I thought you were seeing it as a kid, but I couldn't remember.
Well, and you know, you watch it on TV and it could be completely different.
Yeah.
And the Netflix version is not going to be edited, so.
Right. And it was okay, by the way.
It's fine. Yeah.
All right, so it's eternal. Philippians 3:13. We're almost done with Sam's long-winded review.
This was last week's.
Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before.
Reaching forth.
Reaching forth. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
This is no NIV, easy to use English forward.
So, this is saying, even Paul, who probably did more for the work of God than any of us ever could, didn't feel like he was done. He says, I'm still working. I press toward, present tense, continual, right? Not I did it, not I used to press. I press. I am still pressing toward. I press toward the mark. And he said, if you've made some mistakes, and you didn't do it right last time, don't focus on that. It said forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I like the word forgetting because, as she can attest, I tend to be forgetful sometimes. But what about God says he sets our... He forgives us our sin, and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And in another place it says he puts our sin as far as the east is from the west, from us, from his remembrance. How does God forget anything? How does he forget anything?
It's a choice.
He chooses not to remember.
I have a question about it. I've always found that to be somewhat confusing because then it talks about how we're going to have to give an account for every for the things we've done.
Well,
how is that
things.
The same?
Yep.
So if you're unsaved, you have to give an account for all of the things like what you did. Christ, like you have an opportunity and you turn back, or the sins you've done. If you're covered by blood, you don't give an account for your sins, you give an account for what you've done for God.
Okay, alright.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You just have to think about it as the whole picture, not, which is sometimes hard when the verses are not near each other.
The verse says the east is from the west. Yeah, and I remember hearing a message when I was in either elementary or middle school at chapel. They brought in a guest speaker, and he gave the message, and I was just, it tore me up. Because he was trying to get folks convicted to not sin anymore, to serve God. But his method of doing it was to tell all these elementary children that when they get to heaven, if they ever met someone that they didn't witness to, there would be literal blood dripping off their hands for all the people they didn't witness to. And this is what he told the elementary school to. Students, right? In great detail, over and over, yelling and screaming from the pulpit, right? And I went home and my parents were like, excuse me, are you saved? Did God forgive your sins? Doesn't it say you put him from the east from the west? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, so I have questions about that guy's message, but
this is the biblical basis for saying you'll have blood dripping.
Well, I don't have any of that in front of me, right? He was very convincing.
I'm sure.
But it was terrible, right?
When you're a kid, you'll
but
believe
that's,
a lot of
I remember when I finally had to learn what she just said about the two different judgments
I
and all that.
I actually didn't learn that until I was an adult and I was at church camp with our junior high class and we had a really good revival speaker. Hey, we've had him here, we've had him at New Testament, we've had him other places, Paul Schwenke. He actually lives in Phoenix. Anyways, he gave a whole message about it and about how, it's the white throne judgment. It's terrible, but it's not for us. It's for the unsaved. And I think that helped a lot of the kids, too, because, you know, it can be confusing when you're that age and to have it separate.
I'm 29 and I still find it confusing.
Right. No, I was.
But yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm as educated as I can possibly become, you know?
That's the thing about God's word. There's more, you know?
All right, I'm going to jump over last week's verse because we just did it last week and go straight to the verse for this whole section of the book was Nahum 1:7. It says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him." And that's Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. So when you're going through all this, remember, you always have God you can lean on. It's not ours, but whoever it is, it's very on him. All right, let me look up the other verse.
What was the message? You know, I'm not going to write it down, because I always go to the Facebook page anyway, because I can never remember. And then I take a screenshot of that.
But Nahum 1:7 isn't the verse, right?
No, that's not the...
Well, he had said it, and I just didn't write it down, but I always go to the Facebook group anyway to see what it is.
Assuming I can type this in and autocorrect won't change it to what it wants it to be.
You're not on Facebook.
1 John 2:17, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever."
That's our memory verse?
Mm-hmm.
1 John 2:17.
So should we text it to you?
That would be great.
Oh, there's Julie.
Okay, good. Yeah, last week she didn't get to come until late, but she's trying to work and come to church, so.
Alright. In question. So after, we want to leave quickly because we have to get done and go get our kids.
Aaron is here at day service.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have to pick up Jermaine Jam,
I think. Okay. So you're not coming back here?
Yeah,
we were not like coming back to stay here for night service, or I didn't know if you were going home, if you guys were going to hang out here.
We had to go and get our other kids from my sister and get her own car back. I'm not sure if I'll be able to come back or not because I get really sick at
night. I was just trying to determine if I was going to go home or if I was just going to stay here between services at 4.
So maybe. Might not make sense.
But if there's nobody else here. Oh, yeah.
So, what I was going to say is we could just bring it back to the church after lunch. Because we have to go back to get Jeremy.
Do you want me to ask you for this?
Well, I can take him in just a minute. We just need to close the door. Alright, that's great. Dear Jesus, thank you that we could be here this morning and worship you. I pray that you help us to have a good activity after church this morning. Help us with all the things that we'll
work on. Get him, baby. Okay.
That was scary.